Want to learn how to podcast like me? Join us for the How to Podcast Weekend Webinar, June 25th and June 26th. You can sign up at howtopodcast.biz.
Hello, everyone. In my shop today, I got to troubleshoot a HP DB5 laptop that had a pirated copy of Windows on it. Basically, I just pretty much did a nuke and pave. I wiped the operating system and reinstalled. If you like repairing computers, then you came to the right place. This is Pod Nuts Daily, episode number 314, and my name is Tim Kelly. And today, we have a guest on the line who he's known pretty well in our forums, Cody Cooper. Hello, Cody. How you doing?
Great, Tim. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I see you're in Lebanon, Oregon. How are things over there in your neck of the woods?
They're doing well. About a week ago, the allergy season really hit, and we have the highest pollen count in the country. And it was just awful, but we're all coping now.
Yeah, the pollen. I gotta love that. Kills me.
Yeah.
Well, hey, real quick before we get started, Cody, I want to do a little follow-up about last week, about something that I talked about during the beginning of the show, the Domain Registry of America, which was, you know, which I said is a scam. They are a legitimate business, but the way they get your business is a scam. I had a Podnuts listener call me. His name is Philip from Valhalla, New York. I think that's right. And his website is Philip Computer Repair. That's with one L .com. And what he told me was that he fell for it. He actually renewed his domain through Domain Registries of America. He originally purchased his domain through HostGator. And he bit on the 3-year plan, I think, which he spent over $100 and something with this Domain Registry of America. They took his money. The very next day, he listened to the podcast we did, and he heard what I said, and he immediately got in touch with this Domain Registry of America. And what they did was, he said they reimbursed his money. So basically, you know, I've always kind of wondered about how these people can stay in business. Well, it's the small print is where they get you. If you bite and you purchase, you know, if you renew your registry through them, then I guess they own the rights to your domain, something like that. It takes it away from your original host, you know, whoever you bought your domain from. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, but they did reimburse his money, so that's a good thing. And I really want to thank Philip for calling me and following up on that. If I can just, you know, help one person, you know, keep from getting, you know, scammed from these people, I feel I did my job.
Of course. I mean, any help you can give anybody. And what I would suggest in that instance, if you think that if it sounds too good to be true, or if you're a little bit wary on it, just give it a day or two to think about it. Maybe do a little bit more research. If he had given it a couple more days, he would have heard the episode, and he may not have bought it in the first place, not had to go through all the trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, this apparently, you know, they're sending these letters out to tons of people with domains. So be forewarned once again, Domain Registry of America, you know, don't bite on what they're saying. Well, hey, Cody, I want to thank you, first of all, for all the information, the wealth of information and the contributions you give us in the Podnuts forums. So, you know, with that said, what are your endeavors in computer repair?
Well, I've always been the guy in my group of friends and family that people go to, as I'm sure most of us are and were. I helped build PCs with a friend of mine about 10 years ago. But about 6 years ago, I switched exclusively to Mac, just because I was personally getting sick and tired of working with viruses and just being hindered by that whole experience. So up until October of last year, I was all Mac. And at the time, I began getting interested in Linux and then listening to the shows about a year and a half ago. And I wanted to start building my own PCs again. But now that I was, because of that, and I was more familiar with building PCs, I felt, well, I could start actually providing more services to the people who are asking these questions and start actually charging them money. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you own your own business?
I do. I'm just running out of my home at the moment, just doing word of mouth, referrals from people I've done good work for and asking them to do that. And then trying to come up with an incentive program to get them to, because I mean, if someone does a good, like if you go to a good mechanic and he's a good mechanic, you're not going to go out and actively saying, "Hey, I know this good mechanic," to someone who doesn't automatically ask you, "Hey, do you know a good mechanic?" So if someone happened to ask them, "Do you know a good computer guy?" they're probably going to refer me. But if you give them more of an incentive to go out and sort of advertise for you, not be pushy, but just say, "Hey, I got my computer fixed," and start the conversation and then refer me, then if you give them something in exchange for that, it seems to be working for me so far.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. You're like the second recent guest here that's operating out of their home, which, you know, I am also out of a residence. And so it's, once again, I say it's, you know, it can be done and you can be successful at it. And I agree, word of mouth, you have to have your customers leaving your shop with a positive attitude and just, you know, they have to be happy. Now you can't please everybody, but the way I see it, if you gain and make one customer happy, you've more than likely gained one or two more, without even realizing it.
Oh, definitely. Cause you never know who they're talking to now. You never know. They might mention you, you know, 6 months, a year down the line. And that's just, it's like sending out a little wave. It's going to come back to you eventually, maybe the same or bigger. So every little thing you do is going to come back to you as long as it's positive.
Yeah. And for me, it started off really slow. I got discouraged a lot. Trying to run a business out of your home, you know, is not the easiest way to start. But as far as finances go, you know, that's on your side because you already have a place of business, you know, and you've decided to start your business from out of your home. So, you know, but over time and doing good work, it'll come to you. You know, the whole idea is just to keep doing good work, know your stuff, make your customers happy.
Oh, definitely. Keep building on the skills that you have. The shows have been such a resource to me. Because like I said, I was primarily a Mac guy. You guys don't have a Mac show, so I wasn't really tuning in looking for tips there. But
yeah, how do you like your Mac?
Right now I'm only using it. Today I wouldn't be using it at all. I'm just using it for Skype. I have a MacBook, and then okay. I have a dual boot Linux on it, and then I constantly do different distributions on there. But no, it's they're great machines. If like I bought mine refurbished from Apple, so like I wouldn't pay their retail prices. They're insane for what you get. But overall, I've been very happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I don't mind Macs. I just don't like working on Macs. They're definitely not tech friendly for a technician. They're kind of difficult. It's a specialty type repair. It's not for every tech, I don't think. But now there's these new viruses that are coming out on the Macs now that I hear about. You don't have any experience with that yet, do you?
No, I haven't. I don't have any customers who own Macs at the moment. But knowing that that's coming, hearing it from you guys, and just hearing it online and being ready for it for when it does come, I'll embrace it. Like I can't remember which show it was, but Chris Berry said, "Oh yeah, I welcome it. It's great. It's fantastic. It's always fantastic with Chris. So it's fantastic with me." You know. It's just one more avenue to get in there with another group of people. Because, I mean, usually if you refer someone to Mac, you can sell them certain things. But beyond that, they never call you again. Well, now they're going to start calling you.
Yeah. Well, hey, Cody, I see here on your notes you have make short-term and long-term goals for yourself. Can you give us any examples of that, like your short-term versus your long-term?
Sure. Well, when I started my business, it was... I'd been toying with the idea of doing it for a while. I actually had enough money saved up for almost 2 years to go and buy a brand new MacBook Pro. That's what I wanted for the longest time, just because it's great. I mean, it's great looking machine. That's what I always wanted. And then I started thinking, well, I have this seed money. Basically, it was almost $2,000, and I was like, I could buy this one machine, or I could start to do my business. And I want to start to do my business. So I went and I built a couple of PCs. So I got my bench machine and then a new PC built for myself. But then the more you realize it, the more tools you do need. So one of the things that really helped me save up for these tools that I needed, and I'm just talking like the hardware and software tools. One of the best tips I can give, and they're going to think you're crazy, But go to your bank or your credit union, whatever financial institution you have. More often than not, you're going to have a bank, I mean, a checking and a savings account. Okay. If you have something, let's say you want to get a hot air rework station. Okay. Create another savings account because it shouldn't cost you anything and name that account hot air rework station.
Okay.
Yeah. Whenever I go online to my bank account, I mean, I have like 10 different savings accounts and I throw a buck or two or five or 10 from my paychecks or from jobs or whatever. And it adds up quick. So as far as short-term goals, there are little pieces of tech that will cost maybe 30, 40 bucks that you could probably buy within a couple months. It seems like a big chunk in the beginning, but if you put a little bit away each time, and if you have that account named for the item that you want to get, you're less likely to dip into it when you want to go have a nice weekend or if you're a little bit short and you need to last yourself until payday.
That's a really good idea. I mean, it's like something visual, tangible, you know, besides maybe your banker looking at you a little funny when you ask them to open an account named Hot Air Rework Station, you know, that aside, you're right. You can open up as many savings accounts as you want to free of charge. As far as I know my bank is free to open up as many accounts as I want. And yeah. And then I can even go online and I can transfer money from each account if I wanted to. And that's for free, at least at my bank. So
exactly. Yeah. Every payday I just go and I sock. I mean, you think, oh, a dollar or two here and there, what's that going to mean? Well, give it a couple months. You'd be surprised how close you are to some of these lower end items. For instance, I mean, like I bought, my mic stand, my webcam. I just purchased that Fabs Auto backup, better PC tech videos, the laptop repair videos. All of these I started saving for a year ago. And you know, once you get to a certain point, you're like, well, it's only take $12 to cap it off and just buy it today. Yeah, I'll just do that. And you do it. And then don't close the account. Rename it something else that's further down the line that you need or think you want for your business.
Right. Well, there's another thing that helped me, you know, instead of getting all overwhelmed and thinking you need to go and run out and buy all this equipment and buy all these tools, what I did was I just kind of purchased what I needed kind of when I needed it. So, you know, I didn't run out to get prepared. You know, I bought the necessities, you know, like tools to open up laptops and desktops. I bought those straight up, which were cheap. You can find those cheap. And then I just kind of purchase things kind of as I needed them. And that also took in the effect of how much money that I had or how much revenue I was bringing in. So, you know, that's another good thing to do is just, you know, don't get overwhelmed thinking you have to buy all this stuff, you know, right up front.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like just like Steve C said, you know, he started off with some discs and some screwdrivers. Yeah. That really is all you need to start. If you're constantly building up, well, I need this, I need to get that. Well, it could be a year or two down the road. You're still not going out there and getting yourselves any jobs. You're just trying to over prepare. And then you're either in debt or you have all this stuff that you can't use for a while. So yeah, just start off small, get what you can, the very basics. And then, yeah, as you said, you'll find out what you need, what needs aren't being met by what your current skill set or equipment set have, and then go out and get those items.
Yeah. And Cody, the good thing about the field that we're in, just looking at other businesses, the overhead needed, you know, to do what we do is really minimal compared to, you know, other businesses and other fields. So that's kind of a positive thing.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, I don't have my home. I don't have to pay rent. I don't have any, fees aside from like some web hosting that I have. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, yeah, you can start small and you can start cheap. You can put, you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. And
yeah, I say that as a, you know, if you have a lot of employees and you know, you own a big shop. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the overhead can, you know, get larger if you grow, but like you and I starting off small, I'm a sole proprietorship. Yeah. That my overhead, you know, isn't really all that, you know, huge. So yeah.
Yep.
Cool. So, cleaning tools, Cody, what, as far as viruses go, what's your gamut of tools you like to run to clean computers?
Just some of the basic, well, first thing, if I'm over at a family or friend's house, you know, the holiday season you're over and they know I'm the guy, they go, yeah, can you take a look at this? And, you know, it might be super infected. So what I would suggest for anyone that's visiting or doesn't have a lot of time to devote to a full cleaning then or can't take the machine with you, use Saludo. to go and disable some of those bad things that are popping up. You can temporarily disable them from coming up, and then that sort of puts a Band-Aid on it to come back later and then do a full scan. So Saluto is a nice temporary solution for me. It can be long-term, but preferably I'd rather go in and get all the stuff out I can. If I get a system in here, I run a temp file cleaner, Stephen Gould's, I can't remember the, anyway, yeah, I clean up all the temp files first, and then I'll usually run SuperNS spyware and Malwarebytes, just kind of the basic tools.
Temp file, that would be what, CCleaner?
CCleaner, yep.
Yep, and then let's see, there's, Pure Raw I use also. That helps clean up. And then, like, I think, did you just say Temp File Cleaner, TFC, is another good one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, keep going. Oh, wait a minute, before you go, Saluto, what exactly does Saluto do?
Go ahead.
No, does it stop system processes? Is that what it does?
Right. Yeah, it's a piece of software that you can put on a machine and reboot it, and then it gives you a detailed list of exactly what's popping up as the machine boots and how long the boot time takes. And then process by process, it also shows it kicks them into three categories. Ones that are, I think it calls it no-brainer, stuff that you have you should have no problem removing or suspending at the time, stuff that's questionable, and then stuff that Saluto can't touch. So you're not going to be able to go in there and completely disable a machine unless you just select everything and go crazy.
That sounds nice. Is it free?
It is free. It doesn't cost anything.
We love that.
Yeah. So okay. For instance, I was working on my father-in-law's machine, and I just went over there and I heard Dora talk about it on the show. I was like, oh, I'll try it. His boot up time on his old XP Dell machine was like 9.5 minutes. It was just insane. So I went in, I shaved like 3.5, almost 4 minutes off just with Saluto. And then I was able to come back later in a week and go through and clean it out. And now it's working fine.
Wow. Great tip. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So you get all your temp files cleaned up. You run Saluto, get all those unnecessary running services from booting up. What next?
I would run SuperNS Spyware and Malwarebytes. I heard about SuperNS Spyware from the shows. And I was interested initially because the phone number is the prefix from it's my prefix. It's my old hometown. So SuperNS Spyware is literally built like 45 minutes away from me in Oregon. Yeah. So I got in touch with Mike Duncan, purchased some licenses, and I'm pounding those out really quick. I mean, it's just a no brainer once I show the customers what it can do. And then they always ask, well, how do I need to go through and how often do I need to check this? Well, if you get this option, I set it, and you never have to touch it.
Oh, man, you got an inside deal. You can go have lunch with Mike Duncan if you wanted to.
I probably have to buy at least the first time, but yeah, I probably could.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm sure he can, like, hook you up, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going and getting some more licenses from him. I would just say, you use those basic tools. They're tools that are referenced all the time. I hear stuff all the time. Like apparently Microsoft just came up with a couple new anti-malware tools. I just heard about a Kaspersky Rescue or AVG Rescue Disk. I haven't used them personally yet because I don't have a system that's infected at the moment. But yeah, I would say if you're just starting out or if you already have a set of tools that you already like and you know that works, maybe add another one in at the end or somewhere in that process just to see how it works. Check and see what it missed. What it didn't miss as opposed to what you are using missed.
Exactly. I usually run SuperNS Spyware in conjunction with Malwarebytes. And then, definitely a really good one to check for rootkits would be Hitman Pro. Mm-hmm. It's a really good tool to clean out and look for rootkits.
Yeah, I've heard about Hitman Pro. Have yet to use it. I also use the TDSS killer for the rootkits. Yep. That seems to work pretty well.
Yes. Yeah. It's always good to check for those, man. Those things hide big time. Mm-hmm. Those rootkits. So.
Cool. Oh, for sure. Sure. But yeah. Just the standard tools. I don't really have anything to bring to the table as far as anything that you guys may not have heard of, but I'll say that the things that happened so far.
Yeah, it's always good to cover ground, and to reiterate it, talk about it again. Nothing wrong with that. We want to be sure, everybody knows where we're coming from on the cleaning regimen. So it's good to know that those are being used, everywhere. Cool. So what else do we have, Cody?
Well, I have, I'm also from like a sales background. I've worked retail for a number of years, and I worked sales in, well, I have two day jobs. I have a night job, and then I have a part-time day job. So on top of that, I'm also juggling my computer business and my family. So I have some sales tips that I wanted to give, sort of in conjunction with what Chris Berry's already said. And if you guys haven't listened to Chris Berry's Podnuts episode, go do it. The night I listened to it at work, I listened to it again twice. And I was taking notes. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah. But also as far as just starting to consider what I do as a legitimate business in the past 6 months. I feel that I have the benefit of not building bad pricing habits, especially after listening to the show and listening to some of the traps the guys fall into. Cause I mean, we're all good people, mm-hmm. but good people need to make money too. And if we're yes. offering good services at the same or less, or even a little more than what our competitors are, it's all about, you know, customer service and then bringing your experience to them, solving their problem and having them talk about you in the future. So a couple of things I want to talk about as far as sales. One of the biggest tips for me is if you're trying to sell, like, for instance, I run into this problem a lot where I'll suggest I resell Kaspersky and Supernet Spyware. All of them always say, oh, well, you know, I have this or I have that, or they have Norton or they have McAfee, because Comcast is big here and Comcast gives a Norton license to anybody who subscribes, but it's just not doing the job. And that's what you can propose to them, is something that Chris said. Well, it's not doing a very good job, is it? And they're like, well, no, I guess not. Otherwise, why would I be here? You know. So, right. if you're going to resell either antispyware or malware software, two things. One, there's a proper time to suggest it. If you walk in the door and they have a virus and you automatically ask them, oh, well, what are you doing for antivirus software or malware software, well, they may or may not know. But if you do it then, that's not right. Do it after you get the machine cleaned up and you basically sitting down with them and go, okay, well, see, it's booting up right, you're not having that problem anymore, and your machine's now clean. Now, how are we going to keep it this way? What are we going to do to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again? It's at that moment where they realize that their machine is back to that pristine condition and that they need to do something to avoid calling you in another month and having you come back.
I totally agree. Yeah. When you make that call and you say, okay, your computer's nice and clean now, it's running great, running very snappy. Hey, I noticed you were using McAfee antivirus on here. Are you attached to that? Can you do without that? Can I recommend you another antivirus software that I use? Something like that, you know, is you're right, the perfect time to bring that up.
Right. It's the perfect time. And what you just said, If that works for you, that's fine. But if that's exactly what you're doing, what I would suggest is eliminate those questions.
Ah.
Saying, are you attached to this? Is that working for you? Because they're obviously not attached to it if they're bringing it to you, because they probably don't even know what it is. Secondly, it's not working for them because you just worked on their machine and you had to clean up stuff it didn't catch. So don't be pushy, but just say, you know what? Here's a software that I use at home, which is true, that I have a good success with my customers, and here's what I'd suggest it for you. Here's how much it would cost for me to install it today to prevent this from happening in the future.
Great tip. Hey, I'm going to try that.
Seriously, the less questions that you ask them, and closing the gap on when you ask them that question, it gives them less time to sort of talk themselves out of it. Because if we as technicians are suggesting something, hopefully it's in the customer's best interest, as long as we're being forthright and good people. So it is in their best interest to get it. But honestly, people are pitched things all the time that they don't need. If you pitch it at a time where they know they need it and pitch it to them in a way that they understand why they need it, that's the best time to do it. And it's been successful for me. And I would suggest that for anyone. Try to eliminate more questions. Just automatically suggest things.
Yeah, that's, you know, something that is a good business tactic. I'm going to try that, because I could definitely use tips to sharpen my skills in that category, no doubt.
Seriously, once I started doing that, because it was something I tried at work, because, you know, you have to, in sales jobs, you have to push, you know, warranties or this or that. And if you ask them, hey, because I mean, if you ask them, hey, do you want this thing? Well, if you're not explaining what that thing is, chances are they're going to say no. But if you just, instead of asking them, explain what it is and why they need it, and then how much it's going to cost, yeah, they'll probably go for it. Also, in the realm of suggesting backup, obviously, a lot of people aren't going to go for backup until it's too late. We all know this. But instead of suggesting it in a way where you could say, oh, well, would you like a backup solution? We can get you an external hard drive in case, you know, your hard drive dies, or in case you want to back up this or that. What I would suggest is, instead of telling them a story about someone else and how it happened to them, tell them a story where they're imagining themselves losing all their files. So instead of saying something like, yeah, you should, I suggest buying a backup hard drive in case, because what happens to people all the time is, you know, there might be some sort of technical failure to where they can lose all their data. Instead, wrap it like this. Say, I would suggest buying this drive because the last thing that you want to happen is all of your photos and your data on your machine going away. Because what would happen to you if that happened tomorrow? You notice how many times they just said you there?
Yep.
They're picturing themselves in that situation instead of just referring to, oh, this could happen to anybody. What do you want to do about it? Make them picture it happening to them. And it is using a little bit of fear. It's much more of a motivating factor. Either they're going to go for it or they're not.
Well, see, that's another tactic. And what you're doing is you're just getting directly to the point, and you're putting them in the scenario, and you're not, you know, leaving them kind of any room to talk themselves out of it, just like you said. So good tip.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, that's smart. I'll have to put that in action here and see how I do. Chris always beats me up about my customer relations. You know, I'm always, you know, I'm a little bit on the nice side, you know, so I'm not, you know, I don't have that pushy instinct. I need to work on that, I think.
Well, it all depends on how you view it. If you're viewing yourself as being pushy, then you're going to be even less pushy than, well, it's mm-hmm. it's going to be less effective for you if you view yourself as being pushy. If you view yourself as communicating what you know to them in their best interest and giving them an option of doing it, then that's more positive from you, and it's going to come off more genuine and more positive to them.
Yeah, I got you. I follow you. Great. Yeah. Thanks for the tip, Cody.
Oh, sure.
Let you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Well, please do. I mean, anybody. I can start a thread in the forums, but yeah, just cut to the chase. Eliminate the questions. Don't ask them so many questions, because they're coming. Customers are customers, because they can't solve their own problems. That's why they're customers. Yeah. Anyone who goes to a mechanic needs a car fixed because they can't fix a car. Anybody who goes to a grocery store to buy groceries needs groceries because they can't grow their own food. It's very simple. They're coming to you because you have the expertise, you have the knowledge that they need, and that's going to cost them.
I can see Chris Berry shaking his head. Yes.
But yeah, it's also another tip. If you guys are starting out, or if you just happen to need some loaner machines, no matter where you are in your business, one of the things that's worked for me was offering services in exchange for equipment. Mm-hmm. And it can be something computer related. For instance, I had a customer, it was a friend of mine and her family. They had a couple old PCs they weren't using. They're 3-4 year old HP, 5 year old Compaq, you know, not completely out of date, but, you know, dated. And they had an LCD they just weren't using because they just bought a Mac, which I can't wait to talk to them in a couple months. But her husband just started a landscaping company and he needed business cards. Well, I don't know how to design a business card, but I know how to access Vistaprint. So I went on to Vistaprint with him. I helped him create some business cards, helped him order some custom invoices in exchange for the donation of all that equipment. And he was just like, yeah, what else do I need to pay you beyond that? Well, I didn't say nothing. I said, well, we got to do this a couple other things and then we'll talk later. And he was completely fine with it. But yeah, because like I said, I was a Mac guy. I only had an iMac and a MacBook for 5 years. I didn't have a PC. I didn't in the house at all. So I didn't have a machine with viruses to test on. And I mean, it's kind of awkward going to a friend. Hey, can I borrow your computer for a couple weeks? I'm just starting to learn antivirus software and I want to try cleaning it up. Probably going to say no. So I'll get these infected machines in and mess with them, you know, clean them up, and then see what I can do with them from there.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, I did. I just did a cleanup guy's computer right up the street from me, actually a neighbor who had, like you mentioned, a landscape company. And, you know, it was a service that I usually charge $120 for. And I was like, you know what, I'm only going to charge you $85. But hey, you have a truck. You know, I need some, if I go over here and purchase 40 bales of pine straw, can you just deliver that to my home for me? Sure. It's like, bang, you know, hey, I love that. You know, so trade-offs are, can work to your advantage sometimes.
Oh, it's huge. Definitely. And then, yeah. In sort of relation to that, it's sort of, giving a discount in your services. Using the word discount, I don't like it particularly. And also when I was just starting out, I kind of listened to you guys and I did some research in my area as far as what to charge for what service. And I kind of came up with an idea of what I wanted, but some of these things I've never done before. I just don't have the experience. So until I get experience with a certain service, if I have someone come up to me and ask, oh, I need to do a reinstallation of a Windows XP on my machine, how much will that cost? I say, well, normally I charge $99, but I'm currently running a promotion where it only costs $79. And it can be even less than that, depending on if I sell you A, B, or C. If it's, you know, backup, or if I say we could also review your system for virus protection. I don't pitch them the virus protection then, but that way, let's say you only wanted to charge $79 for a virus cleaning. Well, give yourself room to grow. Say you're charging $99, but you're running a promotion at the moment for $79. That way, if you get more comfortable with it, or if you want to quote unquote raise your prices, you just go up to the regular price.
Nice. That's a really great point. Plus the customer, you know, they think, hey, I'm getting a bargain this time around. So when you're higher next time around, they won't be like shocked.
Right.
Hey,
I
love that. Exactly. And what a great idea. Another great tactic.
And I've got some repeat business from one person. I've done three things for them. And every time they've always come and said, you want any promotions? And I go, why? Yes, I am. And then they'll ask me different things. What they need, but yeah, it totally does work. It gives you room to grow in the future, and it also, because if it's something you've never done before, something you're not 100% familiar with, or something you might need an extra few days to research, because let's face it, you can research quite a bit of this stuff on Google, but experience, there is no substitute. If it's something that's going to take me longer than I would like, I'll say, well, I'm currently running a promotion on this, blah blah blah, and then they're like, okay. Now, the promotion is never more than 20%. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna charge $80 for something. I'll do it for $25. That's just ridiculous, because they're thinking, wow, I should save $55. Also, another thing, when the customers come to you, at least in my experience, and I don't know if this is true for in the case of cars or any sort of repair, but they have a number in mind of what they think it's going to cost and what they've sort of talked themselves into being comfortable to spend. And if you can get them to talk about that number, then you might not even have to do the promotional prices. Just charge your regular price. I had a customer who needed to do a backup of a drive that was failing, and then also needed to do an install on another system. And I said, well, and I sort of talked to her. I said, well, I normally charge this and this, but I'll charge you this and this because I'm doing a promotion. She goes, oh, good. You know, as long as it doesn't cost more than what was it, $175, mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Yeah.
So, she just told me she was already willing to spend this much, but I already quoted her this price. That's fine. That's one. But you know what? That's a mistake I'll never make again.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the ones that come in and they just throw a number out at you right away. I mean, then you're like, aha. Right?
but still be honest. You know, if it's something that's going to, is a couple services going to cost them maybe $225 with parts and labor. If they go, I just don't want to cost more than $600, you know, and, okay, well, it's only cost you $585 today. No, obviously we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. But also in the realm of prices, let's see here. Oh, yeah. You know what? It is your business. Like I said, you know, good people deserve to make money, too. But if you still want to continue to give discounts, that's fine. That's only money that you're not making. But if you're trying to break yourself of that habit, just before you quote a price to somebody, just stop and think in your head what you're about to say, and then go a little bit higher, go what you would normally charge for it, and just, worst case scenario, they're going to say no,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But one of the things that I would suggest, and that I did for a couple jobs, is I'm because I know what I'm going to charge for certain services, so I have that in a Google Doc, right? Now, when I first started out, I was kind of like, okay, well, I know this person, they came to me and they really need the help. You know, all the things that we kind of say in our minds, oh, I know them really well. They don't have a lot of money. I gotta help them. I got to. If you're going to do a discount, if you're going to do something ridiculous, like more than 20% on a discount or a promotion on anything, just for a month, keep a log of the money that you didn't make from those jobs. And at the end of that month or 2 months or 3 months, look back at that amount and then think about what you could have bought with that money.
Yeah, you'd probably be kicking yourself.
You would. It's huge. I mean, and that's not to say that maybe you would have got all those jobs. You probably would have got most of them and that you might not have made all that money, but you would have made close to, if not all of it. And
yeah.
I don't know about you guys at the moment. Like I said, I have two jobs and I do this on the side. I have the benefit of putting most of the money I earn from this back into it by purchasing equipment and then software tools. And like I said, with the savings accounts, also I'm saving up for Google AdWords. So if you have that money that you could have made, just think of what it would have bought. And after so long of seeing that, then you're going to sort of break yourself of that habit, or hopefully it worked for me. That's what I would suggest.
Yep. And to go along with what you're saying, you're absolutely right, Cody. I mean, I think every business owner always should work on what we're talking about here. But, you know, you also have to put your foot down when it comes to customers who try to, you know, talk you down. And, you know, then you start thinking to yourself, wow, you know, just to keep the job, you go down lower than what you would. Than what you feel comfortable for doing the job for. I mean, they're you just, you know, even though say you're not that busy, you don't have a lot of jobs going on, don't let the customer do that to you. Just you have to tell them, I can't do it. Sorry, I cannot do it for that, you know, for any lower than this. And you know, that'll go a long way for you down the road, because when that customer comes back to you again, sure, you might have kept that customer, but guess what? When they come back to you again, They're going to know how to talk you down. They're going to know then they're going to expect that from you next time.
Exactly.
And, you know, exactly. And then to me, oh God, I mean, I almost can't live with myself. Whatever. I mean, we've all done it. I've done it. You just feel like you can, you know, do better than that. You know, so every tech owes it to himself to keep your jobs at what you're worth, what you feel. What you feel you're worth, you know?
Exactly. And in conjunction with what you were saying, yeah, if you do have a customer and you sort of underquoted all the time, yeah, they're going to know how to talk you down in the future. But then also, if they refer anybody to you, they're probably going to share that information too and what they paid for certain services. So if you're charging your regular price for them or even a small discount or promotional price, like, oh, well, you did it for this much for my buddy. What's that all about?
Exactly.
So yeah,
I'm preaching from experience, because I was the guy, I was the tech who always gave the deals, you know, I was the one who, you know, wanted to keep the customer. And I realized, you know, over time that I just can't do that no more. I mean, I can't operate. I can't keep my doors open doing that.
Right. Right. Yeah. You need to be flexible to a certain degree. And that's why I like the whole promotional prices, because if I did have someone that was referred to me, well, I heard you're running a deal on Windows reinstallation right now. It's like, I could say, oh, well, that was last month. What else do you need? Assess their needs. And then you could say, or you could just preset it and advertise it. Hey, I'm running a promotion on virus cleanings. Or in the case of if they are on the fence, and if you do quote them something for a service, and if they say, well, I don't know, do what Chris said, you know, throw in, oh, well, we also do a virus scanner. Have something that you purchase for a small price that you would basically leverage your profit margin on certain things to throw at them. Like, let's say they have a laptop, okay, and they want a mouse or they want a laptop cooler or something, which is something I've heard many guys on here talk about. Well, if you're buying them for $10 but you're selling them for $30, just say, well, I'll also throw in this $30 laptop cooler. They're thinking they're getting a $30 discount, where in reality it only costs you $10.
Yeah.
But be careful about doing that, because then you're throwing all these other items on there and you're essentially losing money if you're giving them two and three things you could have sold to other customers. But if you're quoting someone at regular price, at a fair price for a number of services, and you're about to make good money on them, they're kind of on the fence. Yeah. Have a little something you can throw in front of them and go, okay, well, what about all that and this too for nothing? Then they usually go, oh, well, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, you're so right there. And just on the a side note about the laptop coolers, a little tactic that I use is when the customers walk in my shop and they walk right in, they're hit right in the face with a laptop cooler on a shelf running. I have it plugged into a mini backpack battery USB. And these particular ones that I sell, they have a little glow bluish tint to them when they're lighted a little bit. And so they're immediately attracted to that right when they walk into the door. They see it running and that's pretty nice. And so, you know, I mean, I purchased those off of eBay, you know, dirt cheap, like $8. So, you know, and then, you know, I mark them up. I tell them, you know, $25, you know, and you can have it, you know. And that's how I sell a lot of laptop coolers that way. So, you know, a first impression when the customer walks into the door, you know, hit him in the face with some of that stuff, you know, make it very visible.
Yeah, it's amazing what LEDs can do.
Yeah, the LEDs. Yeah. You're right.
Maybe I should just start taping them onto boxes of software and things. Hey, what about this? Oh, yeah. And just grab for it. I don't know. Try it. I might try it. I probably won't. But
yeah, I was really surprised, though, at how many of those I sell. Laptop coolers, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Especially heading into summer. It's a no-brainer for certain people. I mean, especially dorm rooms, you know, they're kind of confined, you know. Yeah, it's cheap on our end, great profit margin on them, and so many people moving to mobile devices. Yeah, it's definitely something you should carry all the time.
Yeah, I think my highest buyers are the ones that own the DV7 series of laptops that, you know, they bring their laptop into my shop for like viruses. And I says, oh, a DV7. Oh, well, you know, there was a recall on these, or there was a class action lawsuit on these here just not too long ago. Oh, really? Why? Well, because they were all the NVIDIA GPU graphics chip that's on these motherboards here overheat and the solder cracks, and it pretty much renders your motherboard dead. And oh, really? And then they could even go home and go, really? I'm going to look that up. They could look it up right ahead because it's all over Google. And that's when I go, that's why I have these laptop coolers sitting here. Oh, really?
There you go.
I would highly recommend you using one.
No, yeah. You're talking about the HPs, right?
Yeah, the HP DV7s or
yeah. I got a couple of them here that I'm they're in varying conditions, and yeah, I have a hard time suggesting any HP products now, and I tell the customers why, and then they agree with me. Yeah, a company can only make a monumental mess like that so many times before, you know, they lose face in the public eye.
Man, I'm telling you, the bad thing about it is most normal consumers or users don't even realize that they had purchased a kind of a lemon or something that's, you know, bound to fail.
Right. But,
you know, it's up to guys like us to inform them, and then, you know, hopefully, you know, make a little money at the same time. You know, it's not like we're ripping them off. You know, we're giving them. We're giving them a sound advice, actually.
Yep, that's what we're here for. And we need to get paid for our time. Well, I know we're getting close on time. I just want to blast through a couple jobs real quick, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I haven't had many in the past few months, but one of the ones that I ran into that was one of the most difficult and the most comical. I had this coworker of mine. She was complaining about these black boxes that are just popping up on her machine. I was like, okay, I'll come take a look at it. And I rebooted the machine, started it up, opened up Firefox to do some general web surfing, test it out. And she's like, no. Open up Outlook Express. There was a link on her desktop. Opened up that. And then the screen would flash black and then go back and then flash black and go back. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. I figured maybe it might be a video issue. I checked the cables. The connections were sound. They were fine. I thought, well, might be this cable or this LCD. I don't know. I'll need to take it back with me. And I brought it here to my bench machine. Same issues, same exact issues when I opened up Outlook or when I tried to open up Norton Antivirus. It did the same thing. It would flash black and then go back to Norton or Outlook. But after a while, it would freeze. It would show the desktop icons on top of whatever window, and then the machine would just shut down. It was the weirdest thing.
Wow.
I went to the Podnuts forums and got some good suggestions for some guys. None of those worked. And I basically called her up and I was asking her how she got Norton. And that's basically how I became familiar with Comcast giving Norton to all their customers, because she took it to a tech a few months ago and she actually told me what she paid for and how much she paid for it, and it made me sick. So I said, and that was another thing. I told her, well, in the future, if you need anything, let me know. Worst case scenario, I can't fix it. I won't charge you anything. She's like, okay, which is why she came to me. So she obviously didn't pay for Norton, so it wasn't going to cost her anything to uninstall it. I asked her permission. She said yes. And then also one of the mistakes I made, one I won't make again, but what I wanted to do was install Thunderbird and see if Thunderbird would have the same problem that Outlook Express was going to have. But I didn't explain this process to her. I just called her up. And like, keep in mind, I've known this lady for about 6 years and we are friends, but I just asked her for her Comcast email password. And she got really defensive. She's like, well, why? And then I started to explain to her. But by then, I've already kind of tested her. You know what I mean? She had already kind of gotten apprehensive. And I tried to compensate for her by explaining, but she felt kind of uncomfortable about it. But then when I took her machine back to her home and I showed her exactly what I did and asked her and told her why I asked for the password and basically apologized in the way I asked for it and how, then she completely understood. So if I'm ever going to do that again, I'll do it there on site and have them put the password in, because it wasn't automatically logged in. She didn't have her preferences saved to log in on Outlook. She would have to put it in every time.
Okay. So what did you ever find out why the screen was doing what it was doing?
I uninstalled Outlook and Norton. I put on their AVG free for the time being because she's still teetering on Kaspersky. And I tried Thunderbird and it went away.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah, that Norton, was it like the full internet security suite?
Yeah. I'm guessing it was Norton. I should have taken one off and then tried it to see if it came back in the other, but I just took them both off and then set her up with Thunderbird and AVG free and then sold her Super NAS spyware. So
I tell you, and, Cody, is, you know, the Norton antivirus. Okay. All right. So you have that. All right. You know, it's okay. You know, it's light, I guess. It works fairly well, but that internet security suite, I've had so many come through here gummed up with that, with strange issues. I've had them come in, Cody, where Norton wasn't even anywhere to be seen on the computer, and we're just doing this strange, you know, things just like you're talking about. Tracking it down, I go through ad remove programs and I see Symantec updater and ad remove programs. I'm going, so Norton was on here. So I just, for the heck of it, run the Norton removal tool and lo and behold, the problem cleared up.
Yeah. Cause more often than not, they'll try to just like delete the icon or go into ad remove programs and take it off there and think, oh, it's done. But through listening to the show, I think it was Lisa Hendrickson talk about the Norton removal tool. I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of odd. But it kind of makes sense from a good business standpoint. Oh, no, we're going to give you a piece of software to uninstall our software. That kind of garbage.
Yep. A tip to all techs. If you even see signs, even though you uninstall Norton or you see signs of Norton, just run it, but it's not installed, just run the Norton removal tool anyway. Trust me.
Yep. Yep. Good call. One other quick thing. I have some friends of mine that work at a local electronics store, and they're more than willing to refer business to me because they sell laptops and they sell some other machines, but they don't do any on-site repair work. So I've dropped off some business cards and they started to refer jobs to me. But be careful of who you are letting refer work to you. Because when I first started, one of their salespeople, she had the best of intentions. And I told her, I said, you know, and anything along, you know, these lines, I can personally do, go ahead and refer them to your customers. She's like, okay. So she called me one day and she goes, I have two potential customers for you. I was like, great. She goes, but, which is what you don't want to hear. But the first guy, he's crazy, but he's very nice. I was thinking, okay, all right. He goes, and the second one just bought a machine from us and she needs some help setting up a wireless network. I was like, okay. So yeah. She also explained to me that the first guy is super paranoid. He comes in there and he buys the sort of the burner phones, the prepaid phones, but he'll get rid of them every month so that the government can track his calls.
Okay.
I'm listening to her explain this to me. I'm like, oh no. Okay.
I know.
So I get his name and number. I call him and gets on the phone and I say, hi, is this so-and-so? And immediately when I asked that, I thought, if he says yes, then he's not that careful about the government.
Exactly.
But he said, yeah, this is so-and-so. I was like, oh, okay. Told him who I was and why I was calling. And he goes, you won't believe this. I fixed it myself. I just found out what System Restore is. I'll talk to you later. And hung up on me. I was like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, great. He was really enthusiastic and he solved his own problem. Sure, whatever. I missed the potential nutcase. Fine. So then.
Yeah, I think that's the best customer that you didn't get.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say, I heard you say on a show that sometimes the best customers are the ones that you don't get. And this next one is probably my best I didn't get.
Okay.
I called her on the phone. They just went to this store and they bought a brand new Windows 7 system. Okay. But they couldn't get it to work with their net zero account. Yeah, I just said net zero, you know, like dial up, like,
yeah.
And she's talking to me over the phone and just like, well, can you just tell me how to do it? And I said, no, I'm afraid I need to come there and look at it. I don't know which machine you bought and I don't know which machine you currently have. She goes, well, my new machine has Windows 7. My old machine has Windows 98, but it's the second edition. So that's good. I'm thinking, oh, no. So she's going over the phone with me. She's like, I got this cable. And she couldn't tell me what the cable was. And she goes, I put one into my old machine. What do I do with this wizard thing it's asking about? I guess it was like a file transfer wizard. She was just trying to get her files off of the old machine and hook up the new machine online. And I scheduled an appointment with her. And I thought, okay, well, at least I'm off the phone with her. And then in my head, when I'm off the phone with her, I'm thinking, okay, she's probably just going to need to transfer files over. And it was already communicated to me by her and the lady who referred her to me that she's very, very tight on funds, you know, fixed income, elderly. And I'm thinking in my head, well, you know what? I'll go over there. I might even, if it's just like a gig or two, I'll just transfer over on the old machine. And I won't even charge her anything. That's probably a lot of the type of stuff that you say to yourself, oh, this person's in this situation and they don't have this much money. Oh, I'll do them a favor. And that could have gotten me in trouble if she didn't call and cancel the appointment with the person who referred me.
Yes.
Okay. So I know now what I was talking to myself into doing. And now I know how to avoid that because of that job. She turned out to be out of her mind. What she was trying to do is hook up her 56K modem, like the dial-up cable, into her Ethernet port of her new machine and transfer the files that way.
Yeah.
And came back through a huge fit to the store and then ended up getting a refund for the system. So yeah, I dotted a huge bullet there.
Cody, that's really similar to like jobs like, hey, I've got this Windows 98 computer and it won't care. You know, what can you do? I'm sorry. Microsoft does not support Windows 98 anymore and neither do I. I can't there do anything go. On that. Sorry. Yeah, because, you know, gosh, would that be a mosh pit to step into? And yeah, I just hear the word dial up. I'm just like you. I'd be more inclined to not even take the day job.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Welcome to the 21st century. It's warm in here. Come on in. Come on and be comfortable.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
Okay, Cody. Wow, what a great guest you've been. Man, the business tips you gave are just valuable. I really want to thank you for coming on Podnets Daily, and I really hope you come back in the future.
Oh, I plan on it. Are we getting ready to wrap up here?
Yeah, we're getting close. Sure. I was going to do some emails, but it's you know, we're getting on that hour mark. So So I just want to just mention something here real quick. I want to follow up on the router emulators. It was talked about on, I think it was the last episode of Podnets Daily. I found this, somebody linked me to, excuse me if I cannot remember their username here, but they linked me to a really good website that has just about all of the makes of routers for emulators, which is, you know, where you, if you have a customer you're trying to troubleshoot remotely or on the phone and you have them go into their router settings, you know, you can follow along without being remoted into them. You can follow along through screenshots, basically, of each make and model of router. It's the link I want to give is PCWinTech.com. That's PCWinTech.com/router-screenshots. If you guys go there, you will see a huge list of models, makes and models of routers that you can follow along, follow their screenshots of each level of what the customer is going to be looking at if you have them go into their router settings.
And I got to say, I took a look at that, and it is going to be a valuable tool for me, because one of the things I'm trying to branch off in anything I possibly can, because I can set up a wireless network, but I don't know how to go in and completely configure everything how I would want it for myself, 100% secure, how I would want it. But going through these and being able to walk through people, and even being able to go in and check the software interface of a router you think you might want to buy for yourself or carry for future sales for your customers, that's just an awesome tool, and it's available. So why not use it?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Most of the time, whenever a customer is in a situation like that, you're not able to remote in. So you can see what they're seeing. Okay, I need to let everybody know about Steve's webinar that's coming up, guys. Everybody who's interested in podcasting, you have to know about this. If you want to podcast like a pro, then learn from a pro. It's everything you need to know and want to know about podcasting. Quote, this is from Steve. I'm going to give everyone that joins a behind-the-scenes look at what goes on behind the Podnuts network so that you can duplicate those successful actions of his. That's all going to be on Saturday, June 25th, and Sunday, June 26th, starting at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. So there's going to be plenty of information there. You can find out more information at howtopodcast.com. Biz. I also want to promote TeamSpeak, guys. Download the TeamSpeak 3 client. Come on in and join us. There's a lot of live interaction with techs in there. A lot of great wealth of information. You can the server information you enter into TeamSpeak when you download it. The server is podnuts.instantts.net, and it's port 4201. Come and join us in there for some live chat action in there. It's great. You'll love it. So once again, Cody, I really want to thank you for being on the show today. Is there anything you'd like to add? Any place we can find you?
I just had one quick thing. As long as I've been talking about tips and breaking bad habits, use the Podnuts links, podnuts.com/Amazon, podnuts.com/Newegg, podnuts.com/HostGator, because there are already services that you're going to buy, and it's helping out Podnuts as a whole and everyone involved with the community, because it's just going to make the shows better. But you know what? I've been guilty of this too. I went and I made a huge order on Newegg and I forgot to use the link, and I felt bad about it. But I'm going to do, and what I would suggest to anybody who wants to help them break themselves of that habit about not going to those links, Steve has said on previous shows, he makes a 1% commission on Newegg sales. I am going to go right now on podnuts.com. There is a link at the bottom of the page. You can make a one-time donation. I'm going to go make a one-time donation of what he would have made on that 1% commission. I'm going to do that right after the show. If you feel that you've done that in the past with an order, if you make that donation at least the one time, you'll break that bad habit, and you'll be helping the show out, not only right then, but in the future by continuing to use those links.
Wow, what a great guy. And you won't feel this wrath of Steve. You won't be punished. Steve will punish you if you don't use those links.
I've got some harsh words from him in the past, and I don't want to repeat them here.
You'll be banned.
Other than that, you guys can contact me at codycooper@gmail.com or anicegeekcomputers@gmail.com.
Wonderful. And you can contact me at timster@podnuts.com. I'm on Twitter at timster_. TimsComputerFix.com is my website. So until next time, guys, keep fixing those computers.
Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.